Okay, all right, let's go. All right, hack number one is if you want to grow a business that will be successful, this would apply to almost any business. I definitely focus in on like growing a personal brand with one social media avenue. You can repurpose the content to other avenues, but really go all in on one. So maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's podcasting, maybe it's something like that, and then you can repurpose from there. So, and then repurposing, I suppose that's a hack too, but we'll just say that's one hack.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Join us as we sit down with Molly, a successful entrepreneur who transformed her love for photography into a multi-million dollar online course business. Molly shares her journey from dropping out of college to starting her own photography studio and eventually pivoting towards digital products and education. Discover how she overcame challenges, scaled her business, and now helps others turn their knowledge into profitable online courses. If you're looking for inspiration and practical advice on building a business around your passion, this episode is a must. Listen.
Molly, thanks for coming on to the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
Awesome. What's awesome is that we got connected through a very powerful platform, and you probably heard of it. It's called Podmatch. And what's great is that it automatically, using AI, connects people, podcast host and guest, to the correct type. If you don't know what I'm saying, check out podmatch.com. It's really powerful. All right, Molly, let's jump in. Let's start from the beginning, right? And you can go as far back as possible. And this is completely up to you, okay? So you get one chance, a couple of chances to share your journey, how you got started.
Sure. Yeah, so I have a very long journey, so I will tell you the speed dating version, but I do agree with you. It is important to know like the whole journey. At least I like listening to that when I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. So when I was about 19 years old, I decided to drop out of college because I was studying photography and I knew I wanted to have my own photography business, but they weren't actually teaching me in school anything about like making sales or running an actual company. In fact, I remember taking a bunch of business classes and I asked the professors, what kind of business do you have? Or what kind of business have you had? And none of them have had any experience with a business. So I eventually just decided, you know what, I'm going to just try to book some clients now. And if I can, then I'll just drop out because the whole point is to get this business going anyways. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I did. And I dropped out, and fast forward a few years, I had a very successful photography studio in Wisconsin. And after a few years of doing that, I had a lot of other photographers start asking me how I did it, what were some of my strategies in that. And I did a few coaching sessions, but I quickly realized that I was just trading more of my time for money. I was starting to get pretty burnt out with the photo business. Like, I loved doing it, but yeah, it was just a lot to do. 10 sessions a week, I was trying to scale and I hit that ceiling. So after that, I decided, what if I just take that same knowledge and put it into some digital products? So I came out with an ebook, made some sales with that. I thought, oh, cool. Okay. What if I try like a guide? Okay, cool. I got some sales with that. And then I thought, what if I actually just take all my coaching knowledge and put it into a course? And I was able to actually scale that education business for photographers to $2 million per year. Mm. And I did that for about 7 years. And now my sole focus is helping any business owner, coach, or content creator turn their knowledge into their own online course.
Molly, that's a really powerful story, because what I heard in there is that you took upon yourself to say, hey, this is what I want to do. And you knew what you wanted to do. And the beautiful thing is we could see other creators, other photographers doing business. And you're like, okay, that's not too hard. I love photography. How can I actually turn it around? And you're absolutely right. Schools are great for teaching you knowledge, teaching you the theory part. But when it comes down to practicality, what's actually going to happen, what's actually going to work, we'll give you a book on that. But you actually have to go out and do the work. So that's amazing that you put your foot in front of the other to actually get that going. And then, of course, time. There's only so much time we have in the day. And to scale that is no matter how many sessions you do, you still have that same 24 hours. You can't cram in more unless you build a business around, okay, we have 10 photographers, they can do 10 sessions a week. Now we can do 100 sessions a week. That's one way to scale. But then I think what you did was building this digital course, digital product that can easily scale to a really large number because there is no time limitation. Productizing your knowledge is absolutely the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it depends what kind of photography business you have, or what kind of business you have in general. For me, my business was called Molly Marie Photography. So I had tried to hire other photographers, but every single client just wanted me because it was my name.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a point where you can hit a ceiling too, if you brand around yourself. So something to consider if you're listening to this and you want to scale pretty big someday.
Mm-hmm. So having a brand name as opposed to your personal brand, it's great to have a personal brand, right? It helps you get to that next level, and then you can expand that personal brand and do something new, just like you created these products and services or the digital products.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some of the things that I'm thinking about is, what inspired you from the very beginning? Like, you're 19, you probably have a camera in your hand. What inspired you to say, hey, I want to do this because this looks like fun. This looks like something that you're creating brand new and bringing smiles on other people's.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was so young, it's hard to remember. So I can only really speculate, but I never ever saw myself, like, I really cannot stress ever being in a 9-to-5. Sure. Both my parents are business owners. So my dad owns a plastics manufacturing company and my mom owned a dance and music school for many years. And so I think, and again, just speculation, because when you're 19, I don't think you really think about things too hard, but I think being around that environment, it just was in my brain to ever think, I want to be in corporate. Like, that just seemed terrible to me. Yeah. And I loved photography in high school and I always loved business. I had a babysitting business. I taught art classes at my mom's art school for kids, like with photography. So I think, and the only jobs I ever had, I'm pretty sure I was fired from every job I ever had. And they were all dollars an hour, not career. So yeah, I think I always was just really hyper-focused on photography and business. And I think that's just, and then I also grew up pretty poor and I needed money. Like, when I decided to start my business, I had 81 cents to my name. I had $60,000 in student loan debt. I was living with my grandma and my grandma didn't really have any money either. And so it also wasn't really an option. It wasn't like, I'm living in my dad's mansion, and I think it'd be fun to be a photographer. Like, it was like, I need to buy food. So yeah, for sure.
It's like a make it or break it kind of decision, right? You're like, okay, I'm going to college. I'm teacher. Tell me, how do we make money? Have you done this before? I'm like, not really. I lived in a mansion with my dad and I decided I want to teach.
So also, I just remembered something too. I remember that I did apply for one job before I graduated, just to see like how that would go. And I applied to be a product photographer for, I think it was Uline, if you guys know the company Uline. And I have nothing, but I love Uline. I buy their stuff. So this is nothing to do with them. But I just remember going through the process. And again, this isn't just Uline. This is any company, right? Like I went through the process of applying and having the phone interview. And they just had so many rules about, like, this is how you're going to take the photos. And I was like, man, I'm not even able to like be the expert.
Right.
They're just going to tell me what to do, which is every company pretty much. So that also motivated me to be like, I do not want to work for somebody else.
My God. So I picked up a couple of things. You mentioned that your parents were entrepreneurs. Your mom had her own art school and your dad ran a business. And that's exactly what inspires us to do what we are doing, because we are in that environment of cultivation, of creation, of thinking outside of the box every single day. And you're like, that's not for me. And that totally makes sense. And why you went in the direction that you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being 19, I don't think I thought too much about it, but looking back, I think that's what I was impressioned by those around
me. Yeah. And it's so powerful. I was listening to Steve Harvey earlier today, and he says that if you plant an oak seed in a 2-foot pot, that oak tree will not be the oak tree that we imagine, because its growth is stifled in that small pot. And it's the same. It's not that anything is wrong with the seed. It's the environment that the seed is put in. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're listening to this and you are in a 9-to-5 or you want to start your own business, I think that's a really good point. Join, even if you don't have your business yet, join some business networking groups, get yourself around other business owners. Because maybe you're still just, I don't know what my idea should be. But if you get yourself around those other people, and also you'll see what's possible.
Yeah.
It's crazy how simple. I think people that want to start a business, they think they have to have some like crazy invention, but some of the like most successful businesses I know are quote unquote boring businesses, like landscaping or, so it doesn't even need to be like that clever of an idea. The execution just has to be pretty good. So.
A very simple idea. And if you focus and put your mind to it, it can make millions. Like literally landscaping businesses.
Yeah,
make
like millions. Photography wasn't like a groundbreaking business idea.
No, it's not. And also, I think one thing that people think about is, oh my God, there's too much competition. I can't stand out. But that's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is because if you go in a niche that has a lot of competition, that means there is a need for that service. I've met so many other podcast production companies. I'm like, oh my God, people need this service. That's why there's a competition. So when there is competition, just know that you're in the right space. Just know that your personality is what's going to attract other people to it.
It's a lot like online courses too. You don't have to have a groundbreaking online course idea. I actually teach my students like to research their idea and see that there are already courses out there selling, and it's actually a good thing. And it will help you become successful faster, because you can model some of the people that have already done it and then put your spin on it versus starting completely from zero.
Yeah, man, I love that. That was a great hack. That was a great hack. I mean, I haven't gone there yet.
Hobbies and hacks.
All right, Molly, thank you so much for sharing your journey, how you got started and what kept you motivated, what kept you going, and the environment that helped you shape the person you are today, and how we can continue to grow when we have the right environment around us and the inspirations that we find from the people around us, and to continue to keep pulling that one thread. How far is it going to take us?
So you're wondering like how I stayed motivated over all the years?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. So obviously my number one motivation was I needed money to pay off my student loans and buy food and all of that stuff. But the more important motivation was I actually enjoyed it. So it was that I already shared like why I didn't want to go down the 9-to-5 path and how this was what I actually wanted to do. So it's okay. Obviously, like everyone else, I need to pay my bills. So if I have to do that, I might as well find something that I actually enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And so I have found over the last 16 years being in business, the number one motivator for me is actually investing in other education. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter if it's a course or a mastermind or whatever.
Yeah.
Like just one example right now, I'm really getting into YouTube and I did just very basic for a year. I'm just like, I'll put out a video every week for a year, but I didn't invest in any education. I just did what I thought I should do. My channel didn't really grow that much. It grew, but it didn't grow that much. And I also, I just batched the videos. I scheduled them out. I wasn't really that motivated, but recently I invested in a program to learn YouTube. And now it's all I think about. It's all I do. I'm obsessed with it. It's so much fun. And so I think if you need motivation or you want to stay motivated, it's always like looking for that next thing within your business that you can get better at or learn and seek out even like a mentor or someone that you're like, wow, I would love to be where they are. And then really study them.
No, that's an excellent point, because when you're around other people that are also trying to do the same thing, guess what? They are encouraging, they're inspiring you and motivating you, and you're re-motivating yourself watching them and being inspired by them. When I started cycling, initially I had gotten a bike back in 2011. I rode it every once in a while, not that often. But then in 2016, I joined a cycling group. And these guys were like, oh my God, let's go biking. We're going Sunday. We're going to go biking. We're going to go up in the hills. And in 2017, I rode 1,500 miles.
Wow.
Because I was around other people that were so into it. Same thing with beekeeping. If when I wanted to start my beekeeping, I kept watching videos over videos for 6 months. And then one video said, if you really want to start something, you need to join a local beekeepers group. Like, oh, I didn't know they existed. Of course they did. Right. And then that sent me into signing up for a course to become a beekeeper and then finally actually become a beekeeper. So you really have to pour some fuel on that fire, bring in
that actually oxygen. Leads me to a question for you. How early on in your, let's use beekeeping as an example, how early on did you invest in like beekeeping materials?
So it was probably, like I said, for 6+ months, I was watching videos because we had just moved to a place. I'm like, okay, if you have a huge backyard, we could actually do beekeeping here. So I would consume more and more content around beekeeping. And I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting. And then when I joined the beekeeper group, they're like, okay, hey, if you really want to get into it, we have a course that's eight weeks long, and we're going to meet 2 hours a week, and we're going to really teach you everything you need to know.
Because one thing I noticed is, let's take the biking for an example. Maybe you were like, I want to be a cyclist. So I'm going to purchase a bike and purchase a helmet. And then now maybe you're more motivated. I don't know. So putting the money into education or into the actual thing also, like if you want to get good at YouTube and you spend $10,000 on a camera, now you're probably pretty motivated to make it happen.
Oh, I absolutely agree, because just an example of when I bought the camera, my first DSLR, my wife got us for our anniversary present. I was like, I want to learn everything I can about it. So I went and took 17 different courses on how to use the camera, how to use it in a film setting, how do you compose the shots, black and white, like everything you can think about, lenses, aperture, all those fancy terms. I went and learned about it because I wanted to actually get really good at it. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Once you do put the money in it, you put the time and energy, because luckily I have access to these brilliant minds who are making amazing videos. They're growing channels like wildfire. And so that's really good to know. Yeah. Love it. All right, Molly, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, you're going to share 3 hacks to take to the audience.
Okay.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Welcome back, guys. You've been listening to the podcast here with Molly. Wait, Kaiser. Is it Kaiser?
It's Kaiser, but it doesn't really matter. All right. It's fine.
Welcome back, guys. We've been talking with Molly Kaiser. She is an amazing coach. She's got some cool programs. She's helping business owners really come into their own so they can be amazing business owners and profitable ones at that. So Molly, I hear you've got three hacks to share for us.
Three hacks. Okay, wait, is this rapid fire or just I share any three hacks I want?
This is any three hacks you want.
Okay, all right, let's go. All right, hack number one is if you want to grow a business that will be successful, this would apply to almost any business. Mm-hmm. I definitely focus in on like growing a personal brand with one social media avenue. You can repurpose the content to other avenues, but really go all in on one. So maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's podcasting, maybe it's something like that. And then you can repurpose from there. And then repurposing, I suppose that's a hack too, but we'll just say that's one hack.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's see here. Hack number two. This is something that's really helped me with my business. I like to hire virtual assistants overseas. This could apply if you want to hire wherever you live or overseas, it doesn't matter. But I just find that over the years, I've tried full-time employees, part-time employees, freelancers. And for my particular business, I do really enjoy working with freelancers. So this is not sponsored in any way, but I use the website PH Jobs to hire VAs in the Philippines. And mm-hmm. It just works really well for my business. And since it's like a 16-hour time difference, work focused without being bothered. And so I really like that too.
Yeah, that's so true. They're sleeping and you get to work while they're sleeping. And then when they're awake, you're sleeping. They've got their work cut off for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely really like that. Hack number three would be to turn your knowledge into any sort of digital product if you want to scale your business without needing, because the cool thing about digital products is you don't need to deal with inventing a product. You don't need to deal with like getting the product model and actually getting the physical product. You don't have to deal with shipping, especially right now. There's a lot of like shipping issues. What's cool is you can just say, hey, there's something I've got myself a result in my life. Maybe it's helping your kids with something, or maybe you've helped yourself get some kind of a result with something. Maybe you're good at gardening or beekeeping or cycling or whatever. And you can take that knowledge and put it into an ebook or an online course. And then even if you already have a successful business, if you don't sell digital products, if you just throw up a digital product on your website, mm-hmm. if you already have traffic going there, like you would be surprised how many sales you'll get of that. So let's say you're a landscaping company. If you threw like a PDF or a course or something up on some like DIY landscaping kind of things that people can do like between landscaping visits or something like that.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people would probably purchase that.
I love it. That's so good. I've got a separate shop for honey that I created. I harvest for my bees. So I'm wondering, should I put that product on my podcasting website?
That'd be cool. Okay. So like physical jars of honey.
Physical jars of honey.
If you're talking about it on your podcast, I'd say why not? Like, I feel like even if you didn't sell a lot of it, it really adds to your personality, your get know and trust factor on your podcast. If you told me, oh, I'm a bee, like on your podcast, oh, I'm a beekeeper and I sell my honey on my website, that's cool. I don't know. Maybe I want to buy some local Virginia honey. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Cause I was like, oh, it should be a separate brand, but then who's putting time in building that brand when I'm already building this one brand?
Yeah, if you're focused on this, I would say you could just put it on your website. And then if you talk to people locally, I don't think people are really going
to
care.
Yeah, I'm going you're to just a podcast like to honey. Honey. Yeah,
I love yeah. it.
All right, that's happening this week or maybe next week. Well, thanks
to Marsh. Super cool. Everyone listening, go buy the honey.
Thank you, Molly, for the plug. All right, we're going to jump into a rapid fire questions.
I'm ready. Right.
Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Oh, something I haven't done. Ooh, that's interesting. I would say probably mountain biking.
Ooh, mountain biking.
Mm-hmm. I really like hiking and I tried mountain biking once and it was really hard.
Yeah.
I think if I got into it earlier, maybe I'd be better at it.
Places like Colorado or wherever they have.
Yeah, I live in New Mexico right next to Colorado. So yeah.
Snow slopes or whatever. So in summertime, they'll use the same ski lifts to take you up to the top with a mountain bike.
Cool.
And then so that way you're not really working hard. You're just making sure you stay on the bike as you come down. Yeah.
That's basically what mountain biking is. Trying not to crash.
Trying not to crash. Yeah. Exactly.
No, I agree.
And
that biking course. Just kidding.
Yeah. And what's cool is that I started with a mountain bike in 2011. And the reason I wanted to get a mountain bike is because I rode mountain bikes when I was growing up as a child back in Saudi. So that struck a chord. I love it. Next question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
So since about early high school, it was always photography. But as a child, I always wanted to be a veterinarian.
Mm.
But my friend's mom was a vet. And I went there and I like shadowed her. I was like, no way. I do not want to. Because you can imagine in your head all the gross things a vet have to do.
Yes.
I just really liked animals. And yes. I have a lot of animals now. But yeah. So once I found out the reality to being a vet, I was like, no.
I'll keep the animal part. You do the veterinarian part. How about that?
I think
that?
Every kid wanted to be a vet because they liked animals.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Next up. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Ooh, I have so many. Okay, since I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you all know what I'm about to say, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I would have to say Breaking Bad. It's so good.
It is. It is absolutely epic. Now, what'd be really funny, because after Breaking Bad ended,
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is a prequel. Yeah, Breaking Bad. So what I'm saying is it'd be really cool if they made a movie that's post all of that.
Do you mean El Camino? Because that's exactly what that is.
Is that a movie that
they have a movie called El Camino that's after Breaking Bad and it's with Jesse only and it's actually really good. You should watch it.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna go check it out. I'm gonna have to check it
obviously
out.
Obviously, I'm an Albuquerque nerd.
No, I watched that show. And I was like, I told my wife, you need to watch this show. And she's like, I'm not even into it. But then after the second season, she's like, oh my God, this is so good.
Okay. Literally my husband's mom, who she doesn't even really watch a lot of TV. She's a church going lady. She's a second grade teacher. She's super sweet. My husband's like, there's no way she's going to like Breaking Bad. I'm like, watch. I turn it on. She is hooked. She's addicted. So yeah, it's just good storytelling.
It's really good storytelling. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, like what movie would I be in and what character would I be? Ooh, okay. I watch a lot of movies, like a lot. So I'll just name the movie I saw recently. I saw Don't Worry, Darling. Did you see that one?
Don't Worry, Darling. No, I have not seen that.
Very good. I don't want to ruin anything for you guys, but you should definitely go see it. It's a very modern day feministic sci-fi. I don't know. It's super cool. But okay. I'd be the main character in that movie because she, I don't want to spoil it for you
who
guys.
Who plays in it?
So Harry Styles, he's a musician. I'm sure everyone mm-hmm. listening probably knows who he is, but he's in that movie actually because his girlfriend Olivia Wilde directed it.
Okay.
Or produced it. And then she acts in it as well.
Olivia Wilde's in it. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in House for those of you guys listening. My husband and I watch a lot of movies.
Hey, you got to entertain the mind.
I love movies, and my cousin was actually in film in LA for many years, and
nice.
She gets those early DVD releases.
Oh my god.
Cool. Yeah, so we watch those sometimes, but yeah, I would be the main character in that movie. I actually can't remember her name. They don't really mention it a whole lot, but sure. If you watch the movie, you'll know why. She's just pretty. She's so a go-getter. Cool. She's a questioner of all things.
I like it. Don't worry, darling. Check out the movie. It's on streaming or you can watch it in the theaters.
It's on HBO Max streaming. I think it was in theaters.
Okay. Yet. So it is on streaming. We're not going to mention anything about going to the theaters because we're going to do everything in the safety of our homes. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, this is a bad question for me because you guys are all going to hate me. I don't really like Marvel movies very much. I would say, wait, did you say which one would I be or which one's my favorite?
Favorite hero, superhero. Okay.
Deadpool, does that count?
Come on. That's up. That's what's up, Deadpool. Especially the latest movie. Oh my God.
Like, I really only like the Marvel movies that are comedies. I like the Deadpool ones and then the ones with the Ant-Man. I like those ones.
Ant-Man, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd is just...
The amazing. Other Marvels are just, they're too predictable for me. Like, I just know.
Because sure. You've seen so many movies, the entire story arc.
Yeah, it's too predictable.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Last question. If you, Molly, were a board game, what would it be?
Ooh, my favorite board game is Settlers of Catan because I love strategy.
Yeah.
So I would say that. And if you're a business owner that loves strategy, you should definitely play Settlers of Catan.
Check out Settlers of Catan because it is full of strategy. It'll take you a minute to set up your board, but don't worry about that. You can have a ton of fun. I found some custom boards that people carved with wood, these panels, so you can put together so they have the same.
For Settlers?
For Settlers of Catan.
Oh, that's cool. So I take it you've played it.
I've played it. I got like four different sets of the game.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we can do 10 players. We can do 10 players if you want.
You need to come to New Mexico then because I want to play board games.
Yes, we're going
to
play some.
That's cool.
Molly, thank you so much for this fun conversation. Where can the superpreneurs find you?
Superpreneurs. That's so cool. Okay, so... Sorry, now I'm thinking about Deadpool. Okay, you can find me at profitablecourses.com. And I just want to let you all know we're rebranding to freedomcreator.co. Ooh. So if you go there and it redirects you, just know it's supposed to redirect you. But yeah, I have everything there. Tons of freebies, tons of tools, all for free on how to grow your following on TikTok or how to create your own ebook or how to grow your email list or start an online course. I'm all about the free tools.
I love it. Thank you so much, Molly. This was a lot of fun. A lot of value in here. Go check out the profitablecourses.com or the new site as it gets redirected to.
Yeah, I know, it's so silly.
We'll make sure.
To go to my website and be like, "What? It's spam." So yeah, Freedom Creator is our rebrand.
Freedom Creators. We're gonna have the link in the show notes so you.
Not as cool as Superpreneur. That's pretty cool. Do you own the URL for that?
Hey, don't give me new ideas to buy domain names.
Like a true entrepreneur. Yeah, we all have.
I know. Come on. Thank you again. This was a ton of fun. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.